Be advised, mature content ahead. This podcast is brought to you ad-free thanks to the Legion of Demons at patreon.com/notlp. If you like what you hear, there's much more at patreon.com/notlp. Join the Legion. That's patreon.com/notlp. And now the show.
How do you do? Just a word of friendly warning. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, we warn you.
Happy birthday, Kelly.
Oh, thank you. Today is the day.
Yes!
It's the actual day.
It's the real day.
The first show of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
2020. And we kick off every year with Podcaster's Choice. First up is Kelly's pick, the 1986 adaptation of Red Dragon, the novel by Thomas Harris, the first appearance of Dr. Hannibal Lecter.
Yes, one of my favorite movies. I love this movie very much.
This is Manhunter, Michael Mann.
Manhunter! I'm 43.
You don't look a day over 37.
Yeah, I agree.
That's a very specific thing to say.
Yeah.
That's so specific of you and kind. Yes, Amy's going to review something called The Headhunter, and I just realized that both movies have Hunter in the title.
Oh, what kismet.
Was it directed by Michael Head?
Michael Head, yeah. And this is Michael Mann. Michael Head's Headhunter.
Advanced wordplay there.
Yeah, it was.
I just realized Michael Mann directed Manhunter.
I also searched for gay porns with these similar titles just for a porner for you, Andy, but all the covers were too graphic for me to text you.
So,
about.
Like, is there a Manhunter?
Yeah, there's a series called, like, The Manhunters, but there was nothing specifically...
But they're not themed after
I'm sure
Thomas Harris novels.
No. The serial killers.
Headhunter, I think, is one too.
There's Hunting Head.
It's probably an app called Manhunter, but like the E is left off. Just H-U-N-T-R.
So I'm Freddie. Amy's here.
Yes.
That's Andy, who was just talking about missing vowels. And, or you could say something. You want to say something, Andy?
No, I just thought of Anna White, actually, when you said missing vowels.
Missing vowels. I just wanted you to identify yourself for the coroner's report.
Sorry, I'm Andy.
The coroner's report.
Oh, whoops. Did I say that out loud?
You want to be able to identify my body.
Mikey B is here.
Mikey B.
And the man of the hour, Kelly.
This is my hour.
It's just 1 hour. I'm going to start a timer right now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This is my hour.
Your hour ends at 1:04.
Okay.
It's your time down here.
I'm going to try and use it wisely.
Do you know what time of day you were born?
Yes, 5-ish in the morning.
Oh. Mm,
really? Mm,
I was a normal-sized baby.
Was that the last time you were up at that hour?
But it was the last time I was going to try and make a joke, and it just... You ever have one where, like, you see it, like, you're pushing it up and out of the chamber,
yeah,
and then as it's leaving, you realize it's a dud,
oh, yeah,
and like, but it's too late.
Oh, it's yeah. Like when
it just falls out and like just.
Yeah.
And deflates in front of you, and you're like, I could try to get off another one, or I could just let this be. And I'm at an age now where I just feel like it's more honest and living my truth.
You went straight to acceptance.
It takes you at least 20 minutes to get another one ready to go.
Not if I take one of my pills.
Oh,
Animo pills.
Anyway, so that was that failed joke was for you,
Mikey B. Inside joke.
Mikey B came back though. He did say, "See, that was a nice assist."
Thanks.
Yeah.
You know what time Tom Noonan was born?
The stroke of midnight on a moonless evening.
That's not noon.
Andy likes
it's
to make
12.
Oh, I see what you're doing.
Tom Noonan.
I forgot we had made that whole noon evening. I thought you were doing because he's spooky and creepy.
No. Yeah.
That was the workshopping.
Stroke of midnight.
Stroke of midnight.
Gong.
Gong. Gong. Push. It's a boy.
It's a Tom Noonan. He just came out that way.
His
like
name
a
is
gargoyle.
His name is not Tom Midnight.
No, it's not. You're right.
It's alive. It's alive. It's alive. It's alive. It's alive.
Apparently on my birthday, my whimsy box.
No, I mean, it was a bad joke.
I think I need to get
it
like screwed in a little tighter.
It was a bad joke made worse by your
It's all the electromagnetic energy.
It's the fields that we're...
It's the fields.
It's cable.
It's loosened your whimsy box. Mm-hmm. We'll just tighten it down.
Yeah, I'll just tighten
it. It's fine.
There's an electromagnetic pulse.
Mm-hmm.
That'll happen.
So did you do anything fun for your birthday? Or plan on doing anything fun?
The plan is I asked for steak. And shallot. And to watch a movie. You know, we did watch a movie yesterday. We watched Doctor Strangelove yesterday.
Oh, I love that movie.
It's a great movie.
Had you seen it before?
No, I hadn't actually. Yeah. Elise had, but
it feels like a Kids in the Hall kind of thing almost.
Yeah, very modern.
Yeah.
It felt very modern. I was really surprised. So that was fun. And so probably watch something today. Probably some kind of sex favors.
Oh,
I mean, you asked.
Like I'm bags actually with sex in them.
Yeah, they just a little. Yeah.
That's my favorite kind of party.
But basically, just a chill day. You know, that's what I value these days. It's just
steak, sex, and salad.
Yeah,
the three S's.
Mm-hmm. I'll probably get some kind of buzz on.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds wonderful.
Yeah,
I'm happy for you.
Thanks
you deserve.
For asking. Andy gave me some delish jerky.
I offered you some ribs.
Yeah, Freddie offered me a rib.
Leftover ribs.
I exercised my right as on my birthday to say yes or no, and I said no.
Mm-hmm. He said no.
But I appreciated the offer of the ribs.
I can always wrap them in foil.
No, I know you can.
Yeah.
I know you can.
We got the meat. We're like Arby's.
Yeah. I so many choices.
Freddie,
do you
stop.
Do you have chicken soft
Freddie
taco, though?
Stop.
Chicken soft.
Oh, that's I have chicken story. Soft. If you're a patron, you can hear the rest of that story.
If you're a patron, you can order chicken soft. But yeah, how's everyone else's Kelly's birthday going? Maybe I'll drink a Kelly's birthday. Oh, I can't.
Should, yeah, you shouldn't do that.
I'm happy because you're happy.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. I'm very happy.
Happy that the Patriots lost.
Oh, yeah.
Unhappy that World War III is impending, but that's fine. We're not going to get drafted. Yep. We're too old.
Yeah,
we'll be incinerated.
Take the wins when you can.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, the Patriots lost. So that's great news last night.
Just wonderful news.
Okay. We're talking about this. Patriots fans, if you're listening, we don't hate you because you guys win.
Yeah, get over that. That is so not it.
We hate you because you guys are cheaters.
Oh.
And you're smug and entitled.
You're massholes.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
So just
check your privilege.
File that.
As Bengals fans, we have no privilege. Our only privilege,
the privilege
is
of suffering
of number one draft pick. Yo,
I can't even call myself a football fan anymore.
I've
for
not,
years
I don't yeah, care I've except when out. Teams yeah. I hate lose.
I care about the Bengals, but I can't. I have to care from afar.
I've gone full nerd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
all the time I would have spent doing football related activities are now focused on Star Trek and comic books.
Mm-hmm. Nerd.
I'm much happier.
I will say I also checked out of football several years ago.
Yeah.
I mean,
I never checked in.
Good for
been
you.
Full nerd for a long time.
Yeah.
So
football makes me sleepy.
I get it. I used to fall asleep all the time during
the talking. It's the commentary. I don't think I actually liked football. I think it was just because I was at Cincinnati. And it kind of required to be a fan. Almost.
We were sort of winning for a half second. Yeah. That's why I was watching football.
Gotcha.
It's fun when
I'm definitely a fair weather fan.
Well, sure. Well, it's when you see the bad decisions being made and the not caring about what is good and going to be good for the city and the team and when you watch the owners just fuck it all up.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it's sad.
Energy that it brings when it's good.
Yeah.
I like the energy of the city.
Mm-hmm. Like when the Reds are doing well, which they didn't.
Have they in the last?
Yeah.
For a while. When was the last time that happened?
You know, and when
our soccer team is kind of successful.
No, I think they did had a bad season.
Okay.
So, you know, it's fun when there's that good energy.
Our bar scene's pretty good right now.
Yeah. Bar scene is great.
Yeah. There you go. Some good bands out there.
Hey,
your band.
Yeah, my band's out there. My son's band. That's all you need to know.
That's right.
There's at least two good bands.
There's two good bands out there.
Do you want to give them a shout out?
Oh yeah, Patchwork. Good job. Hey, if they're actually on, you can listen to their demo. It's on Spotify right now. Patchwork. You have to find the right one because there's several.
You think I like other social medias?
Don't give me work.
Oh yeah, they're on Bandcamp. There's Patchwork Cincinnati. If you look at Patchwork Cincinnati, there's a Facebook page. Oh,
do you spell work like craft work or W-O-R-K?
W-O-R-K.
Work.
It's
work.
Like the it's like just the word Patchwork, okay. Without any creative spellings or. You know, umlauts or anything like that.
Oh, they should have a tilde.
A tilde.
What about
a Swinton?
That's my favorite actress. That's the same joke.
An accent mark.
So of some kind. I'm just going to put one on every letter when I do their design.
A backwards R.
Mm. Oh, yeah, like Toys R Us. Mm. Or Babies R Us.
Instead of an O in work, it's a zero.
Patchwo-RK.
Patchwo-RK.
Yeah. Or work with a Q.
No.
Oh. Or fat with a PH.
I'm writing all this fat down work. So I can give this
fat
to it.
Fat twerk.
Him. Yeah, fat twerk.
Did anybody hear Toys R Us is coming back? It's Amazon.
Yeah. Is that what it is?
Okay. And they're going to have, they're going to call it Toys R Us and they're going to have like, is my understanding.
It's going to look exactly the same.
Well, they're going to have like showcases where you can see people demo toys like they used to do in FAO Schwartz in New York.
Yeah.
And then really, I think the bulk is going to be like online shipping.
So okay. Amazon killed Toys R Us and now they're going to wear its skin around.
Yeah, they're the leather face of retailers.
Yeah,
but you're not, there's no place for me to walk around and play with toys.
Well, yeah, there's going to be a storefront.
Not
a
Walmart.
Yeah. But they're not putting it back in the old one. That's something else.
Yeah.
You don't know what's going in that place.
That's it's going to be a head cheese factory.
Mm-hmm. You know how they make that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the thing that forced us all to grow up.
Yeah.
Head cheese?
No.
Oh. Yes.
Toys R Us leaving. Okay.
I don't want to grow up. Fine.
Yeah. Head cheese.
Do you want to hear a sad toy story real fast about my childhood? Yeah. Since it's my birthday.
Toy story.
It's your birthday.
So when I was a kid, and as many listeners know, I grew up a Jehovah's Witness, which it wasn't that bad. But I mean, there are certain things I didn't like.
Can I take a guess before you go into it?
Yes, please.
Is it your Rodan story?
No.
Okay.
I thought you were going to say, I grew up a poor black boy and
yep,
I had South Carolina.
I did. But that's a different story. So when my friends were, when we were all little, we were probably 7, 8. Anyway, when all the good toys came out in the 80s, like... All the G.I. Joe toys were about, like, the New Year's stuff was coming out. And at the local church, St. Anne's, they, I don't know if it was Ken or Mattel or whoever, had this big thing where you could go in. The kids were, like, they were letting kids play test these toys for, like, a couple of weeks. You didn't get to keep them unless you bought them. I think you could buy into them. But, like, so all you had to do was go to the church, fill out some stuff, and then they let you get like all these like G.I. Joe vehicles. I think it was all G.I. Joe. I can't remember, which I wasn't allowed to have because it was war toys. But so all my friends that week had all these brand new fucking beautiful several points of articulation toys, all kinds of amazing vehicles. And I begged my parents to take me and they wouldn't because it was in a church, A, and it was because it was G.I. Joe toys, B. And I was just crestfallen because I really loved toys and I wanted them. I wanted them with the avarice of a King Midas or a Goldfinger.
Everything like, you I touch just toys.
Wanted them.
I love toys.
And I probably cried about it more than once, more than one day. I used to imagine toys. I used to dream about getting toys.
You know what I got you for your Christmas? And now it's
all G.I. Joe toys.
No, it's not here because the production is running behind.
No.
But I'm going to go ahead and tell you
and
ruin the surprise so you have some anticipation.
Okay.
So
I can have some what?
Anticipation.
Yeah. Thank you.
And these awesome toys. They're called Mondoids.
Yeah.
That our friend Dave Scarecrow Oven designed for the Mondo company.
Oh.
And I got you the Jurassic Park ones.
Thank you.
Do you know what they're these ball toys. They're awesome looking.
Very excited.
You'll see.
I can't wait.
It was supposed to be here in time for Christmas, but the production fell behind.
That's all right. I understand how that happens. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's a great gift. That's a very thoughtful gift.
And now you can have Antissa.
I will.
Yeah.
So. Patient. Did you have any toys when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah. I had a shit ton of toys. I had
it was just the war toys. Okay.
Yeah, I couldn't have G.I. Joes. And then when I turned like 50, when I was like 15, we, like me and all my friends had like a yard sale together. And by that time, my parents, you know, obviously didn't give a shit what I did. And so I bought my buddy Dave's G.I. Joe toys that he was selling in the garage sale just to have them. I was right. I mean, really, I was way too old to be playing with them probably, but I still did.
Our friend Jason Cretton has the entire
you do what you want.
G.I. Joe collection. He plays with them still.
Yeah. Well, I get it.
No age.
Well, thank you.
Did you take him in the bath?
I didn't take the G.I. Joes in the bath, but I did. I had one of my favorite things was I had like Lego boats. So they actually floated. Like the Lego boats had like these bases that would float, and then you built Legos on top of them. And so I would take, I had like this huge rubber shark, and I would take my Lego boat and my Lego dudes, and I basically play Jaws. And they would have to hunt the shark. And I would sit, but I would sit outside the bathtub. I would fill it.
That's so cute.
And then Kelly. Sit outside and play.
How old were you?
I don't know, 12. Yeah. 13. You know the age when people start like experimenting with kissing each other and stuff? Well, I was sitting outside the bathtub playing Jaws with my Legos.
I bet we all have similar stories.
I love that.
Okay, were you a tall 13-year-old?
Yeah.
12-year-old?
Yeah.
That's even cuter.
I was huge.
Huge.
Biggest 13-year-old ever.
I was probably 6 foot. Yeah.
Indulge your joy and whimsy.
I did. So anyway, I loved buying those. When I finally could buy them, I was like, this is what it feels like to be an adult.
See, for 43.
I was like, I use my money to buy what I want.
That's right. You still do that.
You had a delayed childhood, so it's understandable.
Oh, well, it's okay. I still got to do a lot of childhood shit. I just...
he wanted those fucking G.I. Joes. Yeah.
That not getting to go... Well, I was like, we didn't have to pay any money.
Just your soul.
And I didn't get that. But what's that's okay. I don't blame my parents for that or anything. I just...
Yeah, their principles.
It's a sad story.
Yeah.
Not really.
They just weren't your principles, and that made it sad.
Yeah.
Because you're a child.
You know what I used to do when I did buy those G.I. Joes off my buddy? This is my birthday, so that's why you guys have to sit through this.
I
used to play this game with my G.I. Joes where I had clay, and I took my Duke figure, and like basically the clay was like this thing from space, and like I would form it all over him, and like he became like a monster, and he had to like, he would try to kill his former teammates, and they had to try to save him from, like, they had to figure out a cure. And Freddie just got in an argument with the mic.
I banged my thumb.
Ew, I learned how to make my own Play-Doh.
Yeah.
And so like I made so much of it, and I did very, very similar.
Nice.
But I would like to make cocoons for my action figures, and then I would have to do surgery and cut them open and try to figure out who was inside.
I thought you were going
to
say you had a cocoon playset from the movie Cocoon.
Old people. I did. And a battery's not included. They like actually work together.
Yeah.
I got a boner again.
Do you remember Dissect an Alien?
Yes.
Yeah.
Were you in the slime? Awesome. Anything with slime I was into.
I always wanted that. Never got it either, but I always wanted it.
Slimer one where you poured the Ecto.
Oh, yeah.
I had the Grayskull Castle.
Yes,
but the holes got plugged up with slime because we're kids and we don't take care of our shit.
Yeah. Well, there was a He-Man slime thing that actually clamped on your He-Man and you could dump the slime on top.
Yeah, I remember that. Yep.
Yeah.
That came out about the same time as Bast. Battle Armor.
Yeah.
I had a vast collection of Babysitter's Club books.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really remember having toys the way you guys do.
You were always a reader.
Yeah, I had Barbies.
Did you make your Barbies read?
She made him kiss.
So, like, was it like a big treat, the mall, to go to B. Dalton?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Little Professor.
Barbies, I'm sure other action figures had this, but like, remember when their knees, you could like bend their knees and stuff? Remember that feeling of that like click, click, click?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like you were breaking their knees.
What the hell was in there?
I don't know. It was awful. I'm just remembering it now, and it was like unsettling.
Fetus bones.
Fetus bones.
Planned Parenthood funnels their money through the tail.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I would always overextend the Barbie legs so it'd go the other way.
Yeah.
The major female characters, if I remember correctly, I'm sure if Jason's listening, he'll correct me, but the two female characters had the same thing. Evil Lynn and...
Tila?
Sorceress? Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
No, Evil Lynn was the purple one.
Was good.
Yeah,
Sorceress. Yeah, Evil Lynn.
And then, but I think the other one was Tia, but she was, she was good. Yeah, and they had the similar Barbie doll legs, if I remember correctly.
Clack, clack, clack.
Yeah.
What unfortunate name She had no chance.
Evil Lynn.
Yeah.
You know, she's
her parents really doomed her to a life of crime.
Same thing with Cruella. Oh.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Yeah. So, patrons, if you are interested, Night of the Comic is returning on Wednesday. At least that's the plan.
What you think about that?
We're going to talk in depth about Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker, and probably some comic books, I'm sure. And probably some toys.
It's going to be a heated discussion.
It's
going to
be fun.
Ooh, Kelly,
it is going to be heated, I'm sure.
So Star Wars, since it's got war in the title, would those have been banned?
No, my dad loves Star Wars.
So it was okay.
Yeah. I think it was because they had guns. Well, although I got to play, they didn't take away my Transformers guns.
But it was a fantasy world, so it was okay.
Yeah.
Well, and they were, the characters were trying to beat something evil.
Well, it was part of it.
G.I. Joe were army dudes.
It was like nationalism. Like the G-dubs are like anti nationalism because it's like taking the place of God. So it was even more about like the political, it was because it was like U.S. Army.
Gotcha.
So it was less about the guns.
No power above.
Yeah. But my dad loves Star Wars. So we watched that a lot and I got to have whatever Star Wars toys they would
awesome.
Buy me.
I'm happy for good. You.
Thanks. Still didn't get all the ones I wanted, though. My friend Monty, he had all the toys.
Yeah, nobody did.
Monty had them all, man.
He made a deal with you.
But he had a terrible life, so.
So it works out. It evens out.
It evens out.
Damn.
I hope you're okay, buddy.
Yeah. Me too.
Tell us after the show what happened
to you. Oh, it's horrible. Anyway.
Christ. I don't want to hear.
Stop it, Andy. What did you think he meant?
I didn't make up Monty.
You kept pushing.
He's a person. He's a real person.
Nope, he's not listening.
All right, we'll be back. Unless there's something else. No. All right, we'll be
Bart.
Back. Hello, boys and girls. It's time for Straight to Video Russian Roulette.
Thought I could protect her. What took her from me is still out there.
Stop talking about toys. Andy, we're on right now.
Sorry. Didn't know you were recording.
He had the Rancor.
I had the Rancor too.
Song. Oh, you had the Rancor?
The Rancor is awesome.
Hey. The Rancor was awesome.
Amy watched Headhunter.
The Headhunter. The trailer was nothing but noises and very little talking because that's the movie.
Is this about an HR representative?
Uh-huh. Out there looking.
Trying to place some kind of a
candidates
executive
in positions.
Mm-hmm.
I do think this is a good movie.
Oh.
Some of the things I'm going to say might contradict that statement. Just understand, I do think it is a good movie.
Is it an exclusive somewhere? Like a Shudder or
it's
Hulu?
On Shudder. Okay. I don't know if it's an exclusive. But don't watch this movie if you are the least bit tired or distracted.
Did you fall asleep?
A little bit.
Oh.
Make sure you take your Adderall first.
Yeah.
And then sit down.
Yes.
Immediately afterwards.
Snort your blow. Then sit down. The movie has very little dialogue.
like basically one character.
No.
You got a guy. He's living in some fantasy world, like Game of Thrones-esque time period.
Oh, I thought for a second you were going to say like in his head.
No.
Oh, he actually lives in a fantasy world.
Yeah, he's a guy that lives in the middle of nowhere, and he hunts monsters.
Mm. He gives worms to ex-girlfriends. Mm-hmm.
And you basically spend the whole movie just with him. You have some flashbacks to when his daughter dies, and he's basically killing monsters in the hopes of avenging what killed her. Basically.
Are the monsters any good?
You only really ever see their heads because he kills them and brings their heads back to his home.
Oh, that's a nice budgetary workaround.
Yeah, but you see a lot of different monster heads. They look like trolls and orcs and werewolves. So it's like
Mask Fest.
Yeah. Sure. And essentially the movie is just him hearing the call from the castle off in the distance.
Like the bat signal? Do they have a bat signal?
It's like a horn. It goes, and he goes, time to go off and do the thing. And then he comes back with a head. You never really see him killing anything. You just see him hanging out at his house.
So the whole plot is just him killing monsters?
Yeah.
But you don't see him.
Which you never see.
You never see him actually kill it, except for a... near the end in the last act.
Is it like the big bad monster that killed the daughter or something?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so.
You know, how'd the daughter die? Is that part of it?
You don't know.
Okay.
She just dies. Mm-hmm. She's dead.
This sounds more like a video game.
It doesn't really give you any exposition. There's nothing. You're just kind of plopped.
So he's like literally the only character, like human person?
The only other character you see is his daughter like twice in a flashback briefly. So,
like when he's killing monsters, you don't see him killing the monsters. You're just watching him.
You watch him get his stuff, put his helmet on.
Oh.
You watch him, like he hears the horn blow.
Okay.
He goes, well, God damn it, I'm in the middle of this. Stops, gets a stake out of his chest, nails it to the wall, puts his helmet on, leaves. And then he comes back later.
But you said this was good.
It's interesting, right?
It sounds like a 9-to-5 job. Like
it doesn't sound possible.
like Flintstones or something.
For it to be good, but also be this. Like I'm just
the guy, the dude.
Mm-hmm, the actor, you mean?
Friggin' Bangston.
Yeah,
his name.
Friggin' Bangston.
Christopher Rieg.
Our Christopher Rieg.
Rieg, maybe.
Supermog.
He's charismatic, so you're fine.
He's Mike's type.
Yes, he's very much Mike's type.
Oh, yeah.
That's the subtitle of this movie, Mike's type.
Mike's type. Mm-hmm. He leaves. He comes back. He impales the head on the stake that he previously nailed to the wall. And then he heals himself with this goo he makes at the beginning that's in these jars that are all locked up. This goo completely heals it. Yeah. Whatever, like he has his whole shoulders torn up and he puts the goo on it. It's and he wakes up. Huh?
Freddie said Robitussin?
I said it's Tussin, yeah.
I said it's Bengay.
Bengay.
But Tussin is good.
It's all good. It's Windex.
Yeah. It's Windex.
So I don't want to spoil, but I mean, honestly.
Can you say what's good about it without spoiling it?
I think the effects, like the monster design was cool. Mm-hmm. I thought the actor was good.
Oh, that's good.
I thought it was well shot. It is a little slow. It can be slow.
It doesn't have a narrative
at all. If you're sweepy, what do you mean by narrative? Nobody ever talks.
There's no three-act structure. Like,
it sounds like he just does the same thing over and over until the end of the movie.
Is that it?
Kind of. He has a horse at the beginning and then suddenly doesn't have that horse anymore. Oh, you're like, that horse died. Oh. As he was out getting ahead.
So there's no progression.
Until the goo spills.
Don't spoil it if you don't want to. I don't want you to spoil it. I just want to know that there was some kind of progression.
Yeah, something happened.
Until the goo spills, just like in an adult film.
Sure, you weren't just playing Skyrim, Amy.
It did make me want to play Skyrim bad.
It sounds a little Skyrim-y.
Yeah. I love Skyrim.
Scrimmy.
I'm hunting vampires right now in Skyrim. Mm-hmm. I was a vampire.
Ooh, in the mystery?
She's a vampire.
In the mystery? Are you doing the vampire mystery?
The one where you're in that other world? That is hard. I am cool, lost. Though.
Super cool.
I'm so fucking lost. I could play Skyrim till I'm dead. I know people have moved on from Skyrim. No.
Don't move
on.
You never don't have to.
Move on.
Well, that's a nice thing. You find your game and you stick with it. I'm still playing Civilization.
I mean, just play the thing that makes you happy. I love Skyrim. And I'm lost in that world and I don't know where the fuck I'm supposed to be. Mm. But I'll figure it out.
It's the journey. That's the fun.
The Headhunter. Yeah. It's the guys who did Thanksgiving.
Oh. Yeah, it's vastly different from what I saw of it. Vastly.
I mean, they're clearly filming somewhere with a castle. So that's not Columbus, which is where Thanksgiving was filmed.
And the actor is in Ohio.
Loveland, Ohio.
It's the Loveland Castle. There you go.
Right down the street on Corwin Avenue. White Castle.
Mm. I have a skate land, too. That has a castle.
Castle skate land. I used to go out in Trenton.
I only know the one in Loveland.
Oh, maybe it is. It's Loveland. That's right. I have been to Castle Skate. Why not? As a child.
Looks like a castle.
It does. It looks exactly.
And it smells like a skating rink.
Yeah. Do you skate in that?
Yeah, you have to.
Looks like a pump. Feels like a sneaker.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that the movie's worth your time if that's what... I was just really tired when I watched it. So I did fall asleep a little bit in like the third act.
Sounds like it's like there's a lot of... story happening.
There is and there isn't. It's just a very simple movie.
You have to pay attention kind of to catch maybe where it's going.
Yeah.
Something kept you intrigued, which I'm intrigued to find out what that was.
That's I'm more intrigued to like find out how this movie was good.
Yeah. I know, right?
Like, because I believe you and I don't want you to spoil it, but I'm like, it sounds like a ding dong nothing.
Yeah. But I was like, wait a minute, is this what we're doing? This is just what we're doing.
I trust Amy's taste.
You have to figure it out. Choice. Too. They don't give you any. I wasn't sure what was happening. I didn't even realize his daughter died in the beginning. I thought she just fell asleep. But then you just kind of, I mean, really.
He did too at first, and it took like 6 or 7 hours for him to realize.
They don't spoon feed you any of it. You just kind of have
to get
the rhythm.
That's why she died. She wasn't spoon fed.
Yeah.
She required spoon feeding and didn't
get
it.
You have to feed your children, turns out. But
you could use a spoon. You could use your hand.
I don't know. I thought it was surprising.
Soup so chunky you can eat it with a fork or a spoon.
You should never be able to just eat
Campbell's
soup
chunky
with a fork. It's not soup, then it's a stew.
That's when they
or a chili.
That's what they used to say in that commercial.
It is. Wrong. They wanted to convince you that you're getting more.
Mm-mm.
They're like, it's
good,
not mostly
is what
broth.
This movie sounds like it was.
Did he eat at all in the movie?
Yeah, but it wasn't.
Was it soup or a stew?
Oh, he pisses once, like after he's come back from killing a monster and he's healed himself with the goo. And like you see him outside and you just kind of see a close up of his face and he's going, and then you realize he's just pissing thick blood. It was real gross. It was funny.
Shouldn't do that.
No. Huh. But he was all by himself.
Yeah, the blood I piss is usually thin.
Yeah.
Like water thin.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes there's stuff in it.
Should get that checked out.
I would be very interested to see what other
there's your problem.
Viewers of the movie have to say
about
it.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
You intrigued me.
That's what I'm here for.
I got to figure out why it was interesting to you.
Okay, let's jack some people off.
Mm-hmm. No, we're going to crank them, Andy.
Jack their cranks.
You ready, Freddy?
Crank. Yeah.
Twist it.
All right, let's see who's going to watch the movie for next time.
Slap it.
Bop this is Freddy.
Oh, no.
Oh, really? Fast? Sorry.
I don't like when it happens too fast.
Me neither.
Freddy gets to watch a movie with does Gary Oldman have a...
what?
Scary Old Man?
Scary Oldman?
Gary Oldman have an Oscar.
Yes.
All right, you get to watch a movie with an Oscar winner in it.
Oh, no. I think I know what this is.
Mary.
Sid and Nancy.
Mary.
Mary. It's on Hulu.
It's a boat movie.
Mary.
Soon after David impulsively buys an abandoned boat for his family business.
David.
A mysterious presence begins to terrorize him and his family. Starring Goldman. Oh, sorry. G. Oldman. Gary Oldman.
Goldman.
We're sure it is Gary Oldman.
It looks like him. It's Gary
him.
Oldman.
It's him. I've seen trailers.
Or it's
this.
Not G. Oldman.
And I happen to know that if you're a fan of Page Seven, which is one of my favorite podcasts with Jackie Zabrowski, occasional guest host Natalie Jean, Natty Jean, She is a stunt performer in this, and she's married to Henry Zebrowski from last podcast on Loft. I know she's in this movie.
Small World.
Mm-hmm. Page 7, you should listen to it if you like Joy.
Yeah.
They almost made me want to go see Cats. Did you see it yet, Andy?
I'm going to tomorrow, probably.
Okay. All right. I almost want to see
Amy
it a little.
Amy kind of wants to go now. See, she'll listen to other people.
It wasn't because it's good. Don't get twisted.
You want to go on cheap movie night on Tuesday?
I don't know. The Grudge is out, and that's also supposed to be terrible. It's like, which terrible movie do I go see?
Oh, that's disappointing.
We can see it on Tuesday for $7.
All right. Yeah.
All right. We'll be right back. You know?
Sliding door.
Nationwide victims.
Yeah, this is Will Graham of the FBI.
One killer.
This is what the subject's teeth look like.
Seen blood on the moonlight well.
William, you're gonna make yourself sick or get yourself killed.
Multiple trails.
Just you and me now, sport.
One hunter.
I'm gonna find you, damn it.
FBI agent Will Graham. Manhunter.
Manhunter.
Oh, I feel Kelly's so big. Disorganized. So disoriented. Yeah, this Manhunter, you guys. 1987?
86. 86? I can play the trailer for you now if you want.
No, don't.
Oh, okay.
Michael Mann.
Michael Mann.
Yeah.
Michael Mann.
Loves the colors.
Which I love.
Me too.
Yeah.
Clearly this movie is a huge inspiration to Nicholas Winding Refn. I think this movie in particular. Yeah. Nicholas Winding Refn.
Mm-hmm.
Drive.
Never seen
it. Neon Demon.
No. Well, yeah, I did see that.
Yeah.
Only God Forgives. Many other colorful movies.
Neon.
Only God Forgives?
Only God Forgives.
Is it good?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Oh. Don't know it.
But it's another Nicholas Winding Refn.
I like the other ones.
Yeah. I think Pretty Boy Slim's in that one too. What's his face? Korski.
Pretty Boy Slim.
Monksky.
Ryan Reynolds? No. Gosling.
That guy, yeah.
Pretty Boy Slim.
Pretty Boy Slim.
Anyway, goddamn, I love Manhunter. I always have. I used to have it taped off of Channel 19.
Really?
When I was a kid. Yeah. I had it spread across with commercials and edited for content. And then one day I finally got to see it for real. I read both sides. I saw the movie Silence of the Lambs before I read the book. But then in high school, I was in school suspension for 3 days in a row. And so I went up to the library. We had a real good library Corain. And I got both Silence of the Lambs and Discovered Red Dragon. And I read them across those 2 days in school and just really, really loved both of them. But again, I kind of knew the story of Silence of the Lambs, but Red Dragon was brand new to me. And then when I realized I had seen Manhunter, didn't realize, obviously, it was the same thing,
right?
Because I'd seen it as a kid. and had not remembered that it was a Hannibal Lecter movie. And so then I went back and rewatched it with new eyes, and it's just such a great movie.
Do you see?
I do see. I do see, and I did see.
Do you see that it wasn't Lecter the way we are used to it? There was a K in there.
That's true. It was Lector.
Lector.
Which is, I don't remember it being spelled that way in the book.
No, I don't think
I think
so.
It's just an oversight.
Yeah.
I don't think they realized that was going to become an iconic film character, and they're like, ah, that's fine.
Agreed.
Oops.
So basically, Shat, what was everybody feeling?
I think it was great. It's a great movie.
Yeah. I think it's beautiful. Yeah. Like, it has such its own feel to it. Yeah,
it was cool.
Yeah.
I'll put it that way, but, it was good. I don't think I liked it as much as you guys. It was just very procedural.
Yeah.
But I love that sort of thing.
Well, I'm just not into like procedurals or things like crime thrillers that much. So I think
you
it's
watch
just,
How Much Murder She Wrote, Andy.
Well, that's its own kind of beast.
Yeah, that's not a procedural.
That's a cozy procedural.
Manhunter, Murder She Wrote, to me, they're the same.
I think it's just a taste issue.
Yeah.
And I find like Mark, it's a very masculine movie.
Mm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure. It's just,
Michael Mann is just a very like mannish director.
I wonder if it has anything to do with his name.
Yeah. I read that there was quite a bit of. I read Red Dragon. I don't remember much. I read Silence of the Lambs and all that. Hannibal. What was the other one he wrote?
Hannibal. And then Hannibal Rising, which I didn't read. But Hannibal was great.
Yeah, I read Hannibal. I don't know if I read Hannibal Rising. Was that the one where he was a kid in Germany and that movie was bad?
Piss on that.
But there are like no female characters other than like two victimized women.
Yeah.
In the movie. So, I mean, that is kind of
but his wife.
Although, thankfully, his wife is in it briefly.
Yeah.
They do end up later on in the show Hannibal, and also I think in Red Dragon, they made Freddie Lowndes, definitely in the show Hannibal, Freddie Lowndes and Dr. Bloom are both, they become female characters.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, they fixed that in the 2000s. In the tens, in the naughty
I saw
oddies.
This movie originally like in 97, so it was like the heyday of when I was just discovering like good film.
Yeah.
And I remember somebody I remember going into a media play looking for good actually work there, and I was like, and had a buddy who was good at video recommendations. I'm like, I need a good movie, and they recommended Manhunter, and I remember seeing that movie and then like watching it repeatedly, because like I think part of the reason why like I have all of those like lights in my I just was so fascinated with the color and the music, like synth pop. Yeah, you say what you want.
I do love a synth.
Oh my God. The music for this and like the lighting and I don't know. It's just a world. Not that I don't want to be in that world, obviously, but it's a world that I just love exploring and,
it's rich.
And being like a voyeur into.
Mm-hmm. It's rich. I do love color and light. And I like that this is a procedural, but it's told so artfully and presented so artfully that I feel like it elevates it, and which is, What I would have loved for this series, because I like those first three books, I really enjoy, and they are different. Although Red Dragon and Silence of the Lambs are closer to each other, they're definitely more serious procedurals. And then Hannibal, which I know he was writing in concurrence of the movie being made, but it's still a great novel, and it's really pulpy, which is what I love about the novel Hannibal, is it just goes balls to the wall, insane. And I kind of now, like at the time after, you know, the Jonathan Demme, you know, the Silence of the Lambs, we all know, came out. And then, I kind of did wish, like, I was like, oh, well, Manhunter's so different. It would be kind of nice to have an adaptation of Red Dragon with Anthony Hopkins, just to like keep this consistent across, like, I'd like to see that. And then I don't really like the Red Dragon adaptation. I feel like it just sucks all the interestingness and spookiness out of it.
It felt neutered.
It definitely felt neutered.
Especially compared to Silence of the Lambs, where it was kind of like, you know, grimy and dirty a little bit.
Yes. And it's just...
It was just glossy.
Yeah, it was very, very polished.
The Fiennes brother does not bring across the spookiness of Tom Afternoonan.
Well, I like... I think in Red Dragon, it was almost campy.
It was goofy.
I don't remember anything.
The whole
about that
subplot
movie.
With him getting the Red Dragon tattoo, and just so they could show his butt over and over again, which I have no problem with that. But it's just, in this movie, they streamlined all that shit out, and it just
this character wasn't like obviously creepy.
Yeah,
like the Red Dragon, it was like kind of hit you over the head with it.
Yeah, exactly.
This was more subtle. The villain. Dollarhide, is that his
Francis
name?
Francis Dollarhide.
Which I once made a meme, you guys, and no one appreciated it. I actually put this out on Twitter, and it was, I took the Perfect Strangers cover, and then I put Buffalo Bill's head on Balky. I put Francis Dollarhide with the pantyhose over his head on the other one. I said, becoming. And
I was, can you pull that up again?
I'll have to find it. It's real cute, but nobody was on it. So I just want to blame everyone, not just you guys.
We're part of the problem for sure.
But everyone in our community for not getting more behind that.
I don't think a lot of people know the Manhunter movies, so I think that might be it.
Question. So I do like the, I think the Red Dragon is the only novel of his I read,
yeah,
and I loved it. Yeah. I very clearly remember reading it and where I was in that time in my life. But each one of the movies, and I feel like deals with like sexuality in kind of a weird way. Like this one specifically, like makes this big deal, not necessarily a big deal, but there is a scene dedicated to the fact that Hannibal Lecter put the people's pants back on because he didn't want anybody to think he was gay.
Oh, Francis Dollarhide, you mean?
Wait. Yes.
Yeah.
Putting
the
pants back on.
Exactly.
And those pieces. And then I remember in the Silence of the Lambs movie, there was like the lady that had like the AIDS razor in her hair. And then in Red Dragon, there's like the whole guy that shaves his face. I think he's doing poppers or something like that.
Yeah.
And playing the violin or whatnot. Like I guess I've never really figured out, maybe in the time that I read it and compared to where I am now in my life, I never really understood like what the horror, the fascinated, the serial killer, whatever is going on in that movie with like sexuality and these characters. Are they ever explicitly gay? Are they just not? They're becoming something different. Is that like a metaphor for?
Well, most serial killers are. It comes from a fucked up sexual place usually.
Yeah. Once they associate violence with with sexual arousal, it is usually tied up in that. But I also think when these books were written, like we had not, like the public at large had not become as aware of sort of serial killer, you know, investigations. Like now we all have ID Go, you know, we've seen it all. We've heard all the we've been given all the information, but I feel like at the time it was made even more out of it. And unfortunately, you know, I feel like when these books were written, being gay was sometimes looked at, especially by older establishment, as being like deviant. And I think it kind of got worked into it.
Oh gosh, all the way until the early 2000s. Yeah, I think
you know what I mean.
Yeah. I think they saw it as you're gay because these things happen to you.
Yeah.
Not because that's how you were born. And it's like a very thing, like a so something can control. Same thing with like how they were made a serial killer and they were made to be gay.
Okay. And like for Francis Dollarhide, there was like this thing where that he couldn't really maintain an erection with his female victims while they were alive. And I think it was part of like him being intimidated by them. So then he did, you know, engage in, I guess, some kind of sexual act with the men, but that's then, yeah, he put the pants back on so they wouldn't really know that he did that.
Right. And they did mention like they think he might have had sexual relations with his mother.
Yeah. In the book, it's definitely more, it's more explicit.
So I think that's maybe that's explaining why he can't have relations with a woman because his mother.
Oh, a fucked up mother relationship is ingredient psycho. One.
Yeah.
I will say
probably further.
That is one of the things I like about this movie way over Red Dragon is they did get rid of some of, again, when this book was written too, like the serial killer stuff was so kind of simple. Like the writers that were writing serial killers were trying to fictionalize these sort of ideas that, again, you would get bits and pieces in the news, and I'm sure they did some research, but like, I feel like it was a very simplistic way of trying to explain like why a serial killer kills women is because, you know, his which I'm not saying
his
that isn't
mommy
real, but that was, I think at the time it was an easy thing to tie into. And in the book, it's again, it's kind of goofy now when you look back at it, the whole thing with his mother, not that it, I mean, that probably has happened and would have happened, but I like how in this, they just kind of breeze past and they're like, he probably had sexual relations with his mother, and they just sort of leave it at that instead of trying to over explain it, where in Red Dragon you get all these flashbacks and all kinds of other goo goo shit.
You don't really get to the whole psychology of Francis is more explained in the way he engages with other people.
Yeah.
You don't really get a lot of that from Will Graham or Dennis Farina.
We haven't brought up his hair lip yet, right?
Yeah. I mean, clearly he has low self-esteem because of his lip and because he's big, tall, creepy Tom Noonan. I love Tom Noonan. I think he's fantastic, but he's big, tall, and creepy. Right? Mm-hmm.
That's why he plays big, tall, creepy parts.
Mm-hmm. But
he's perfect for my movie, The Big, Tall, Creepy Guy.
In addition to being just a big, tall, creepy guy with a hair lip, what are you wearing, sir? Just
all those shirts?
Awful shirts.
I love those shirts. They're crazy cool.
Like that silk button.
You want the Noonan collection?
Yeah. I do. I love those. Again, though, I love everything about this. I love things that are colorful.
The fashion. And, well,
do you remember 80s fashion? Right? 80s fashion was terrible.
But these
I love
shirts,
over the top.
Nope, I get it.
They were egregious.
Even William Peterson's FBI clothing was very 80s.
So many pleats.
His shirts were very heavy. Like Will Graham's shirts looked real, they almost looked denim.
I can't imagine.
He's gotta be sweating.
He's climbing that tree. But I was like, Jesus.
Yeah. When he's in those swim trunks are something special that he's wearing.
Was this movie the birth of that? I mean, obviously we knew, FBI profilers and they existed in the public consciousness, but having that obsessive FBI profiler character, was this one of the first?
I think this was on the cusp of that, because I don't think it was in 86. I don't think the idea of the profiler was super in the collective unconsciousness. You kind of had, again, Stephen King kind of did this in Dead Zone years earlier with Frank Dodd, which I feel like a lot of people kind of forget about Frank Dodd and the Dead Zone and how he did sort of a procedural serial killer thing before Thomas Harris. And so there are similarities, because actually Frank Dodd's mother and Frances Dolarhyde's mother have a lot of similarities in the books. So I think this was probably one of the first major movies to sort of deal with the idea of, and I could be wrong, listeners, if I'm wrong, if there's some movie from 1982 and you're actually that movie had an actual profile, feel free to let me know, but I don't really care.
Well, I feel it's very of his time. The 80s were a very tabloidy, salacious time.
Yes.
And you wanted to find out more about these crimes and serial killers. And I feel like the FBI profile characters kind of are, our guide into that world.
Which, not to suck on Steve King's dick here, but the Tatler sounds a lot like Inside View, which was the tabloid that was covering Johnny Smith and the Frank Dodd murders. And there was even a slimy reporter character that did that.
The 70s were the heyday, of course, of serial killers, but I don't feel like any of them were as, what you get in books and movies, these very kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Poetic and
they don't have all the, they don't have quite the,
screenwriters to help
Byzantine, sort of backstories and ritualistic, definitely in the 80s you were and when serial killers started to become a major, and as serial killers, not as slasher characters, they were given these insanely detailed, this really came along with those, once along came a spider and those Morgan Freeman, Ashley Judd,
James Patterson.
That's when we started, I feel to really see those super complicated. Well, this killer always fucking takes the eyes and he turns them around inside the sockets. And then he has to jerk off into her hair or he can't come. And this can't be him because he didn't jerk off in the hair.
But when Amy's saying the piece that I really like too about this is that archetype of the guy that has to go too far to catch the killer. He has to go into that mind of that.
Well, I like how they brought him back for one last score.
Yeah. Which is actually what I love about the character of Will Graham. And this is why I really enjoyed the show Hannibal, which I still have to watch the second half of season two and the final season. But, I love the idea that Will Graham is almost because he's weird and almost maybe has these urges and is just able to control them. That's how he's able to sort of connect to them is that right. he's got pretty fucked up fantasies maybe too. Mm-hmm. And that, yeah. And then, so they bring him, but that's how he manages to catch these people. I feel like
it was part of his brokenness was because Hannibal attacked him. And that's why he's kind of,
I think
that has that dark side to him.
Well, I think it was always, I think that's how, part of how he caught Hannibal.
Yeah.
Is that he always kind of had that, but
okay. He could think like Hannibal.
Yeah.
I just like, that the character in this movie, he's like, you did this, didn't you, you son of a bitch?
Yeah, every time.
Yeah, and then you probably had some dinner, I bet, you son of a bitch. And then later on, you watched TV, son of a bitch.
He's like walking through the crime scene, like, you did this, now, and I did this.
Yeah. Did you take that as cheesy? Or because, like, for me, I'm like, every time I watch that, I'm like, he's got to be a good actor to pull that off without me being like,
I still
horrible.
Laugh.
Yeah.
I buy it. Yeah. I could see someone doing it, but it's still hilarious.
Yeah. What I love about that is the idea that he is in those moments, he's like watching in his head what he thinks the guy is doing. And again, it's like almost stimulating for him. But mm-hmm. then like the humanity that keeps him in check kicks in and he's like, you fucking asshole. You actually did this. Yeah. Like where he's almost like, I see you maybe wanting to do this, but then you fucking did it. Like, right. Which is where that's why Will Graham is on the side of right, because he has this thing that keeps that.
Yeah.
Keeps him from actually mm-hmm. going through with things like that.
I get why you did this. That's how I know what you're doing.
Exactly.
I also am judging you because you did this and it was a horrible thing.
Right.
Which is one of my favorite moments in the scene or in the movie is when he's talking, the mom is like, the kid doesn't want to talk to him anymore.
Yeah.
And they go to the grocery store and
That was my favorite moment this time through.
Yeah.
Part of it was all the retro packaging.
Right.
They kept passing.
I saw like Frankenberry.
Yeah, Blueberry.
And Count Chocolate on the shelves.
Oh, like, 1980s product placement.
Was it not like seasonal back then?
No, you could get it whenever back then.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, it was always available.
JB Jelly, which I was like, what's the B stand for?
Yeah.
I don't know. But I think as a kid, like, I just remember being like that Ricky Schroeder, like, wannabe. But in that, and now as like an adult,
yeah,
like seeing that kid and him talk, and he was like, it was your mother and you coming to visit me at the hospital is what helped bring me back. It was like his anchor, which I like really appreciate that piece of his humanity is like, he's like, I know where the good side of this lies is in, you know, my love for this kid and
his mom. It was a great scene. Mm-hmm. And then also like this movie is so sedate and real. Like there's no mm-hmm. attempt at making anything until the climax.
Right.
There's nothing that's over the top in this, which a lot of people I'm a huge Miami Vice fan. I love that show. And Michael Mann has always been associated with being over the top because of that. And really, when you go back and look at it, this is understated.
Again, stuff. It's just the palette.
Yeah. I think. It's the colors that make people remember things being bigger.
The guy on fire.
And the guy and on the fire.
Wheelchair.
Those moments place
nothing over the top here.
No, but they play so much stronger because the rest, by contrast to how normal everything else feels. Like when he goes to see Hannibal Lecter.
Nobody has a normal house in this. They all have 80s Stark.
They're all kind of wealthy.
It's like
they have to have big yards. Yeah, they had to have big yards so he could watch them. But why does Francis Dolarhyde being a weirdo have such a humongous nice?
But it, house. Just because he's
weird.
I think
it was his mom's house.
Oh,
yeah, in the book, I think.
I couldn't remember.
He's also good at his job, and they imply that he's some sort of supervisor because somebody comes to him and says, hey, he just wanted me to tell you this, but it's taken care of. So it's like clearly whatever's going on outside of his serial killer shit is he's got the rest of his shit together at least.
Well, yeah, that's one of the things I actually appreciate about especially this version versus the Red Dragon is like his relationship with he's able to maintain a relationship with a person. Mm-hmm. I mean, because she can't really see him. And it's so his, you know, that insecurity isn't exactly kicking in, but like he does have aspects of his life that he maintains in a normal way. He's
not a loner like most serial killers are shown in these stories, like because he has a group of interesting friends. But when you think about it, if you can connect the dots, one of his friends is a vet tech at a zoo.
Yeah.
That's a kind of like smart guy job. And I think that he's just so smart. Like the circle of people he's with are people who are probably professional people who their job is their life.
Yeah. He works at a film developing lab, which at the time, you know, before digital, that was a complicated shit. So, Yeah, I appreciate that about this character too, is that he's a person that you can actually believe working within society and like hiding the secret realistically.
Yeah, I think that's what makes it scarier.
Yeah, he's not some Ed Gein in some disgusting, you know, hovel with, you know, skins all over the walls. He's, you know,
he's functioning.
And I think this movie is sedate just comparatively to like Red Dragon and Silence of the Lambs, because it's hard not to compare the two movies, and like everything in Silence of the Lambs, looking back on it, it's kind of over the top.
I do feel like it definitely is closer to Silence of the Lambs, and I feel like maybe even they, with Buffalo Bill, tried to capture a little bit of this.
Yeah,
but the thing is, like, even Hannibal Lecter in Manhunter is very sedate by comparison.
Yes.
Well, the set piece itself says everything.
Yeah. Like,
he's not in a dungeon at the end of a long hallway of the worst criminals ever. He's in a simple jail cell.
Yeah.
And they can convey that he is super dangerous simply by the telephone scene.
And just the way he talks. Yeah. It's Brian Cox just doesn't speak in that super flowery language that Anthony Hopkins does. And like, there's one scene, it was so cute. Like, Brian Cox just has laying on his bed
and his
feet are up and just relaxing, and it just seems so normal. And I just can't imagine like Anthony Hopkins and Hannibal Lecter doing that.
He was in his memory mansion. Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like
Hannibal
Lecter
and Brian Anthony Cox Hopkins just chewing gum too.
Yeah.
It's so cute.
Well, the only reason he had the gum though was to hack the phone.
Yeah, you know, but like it seems like such a normal thing.
But he had cute moments. Anthony Hopkins' version of this character did.
When he's like having his candy and like his little flowery shirt at the end.
Yeah, when he's on vacation.
When he goes in pants.
It was cute in a like sinister way. It wasn't cute in like a grounded way, like the Brian Cox.
It's still about making him likable in a way where you're kind of like, oh, I feel like I would be okay with him. I'm not his target. Yeah. And that's how he gets you every time. It's because you're like, I'm safe with him. It's everybody else he's after.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting that about that character. Is he puts you at ease.
Yeah,
so that you know what he is. But again, you're like, but that's for other people,
right?
Which I love about that. And again, this movie, especially in the story, ties into the show. I think the actor that plays Will Graham, I can't think of his name.
William Peterson.
No, in the show,
in the TV show.
Oh,
Peter Williamson.
Dancy.
Yeah, they even have him sort of styled similarly to William Peterson's Will Graham, you know, with the kind of curly, wispy hair and the,
Hugh Darcy.
Darcy?
Yeah.
Or Dancy. My eyes aren't so good.
Dancy.
Ted Dancy. Another question I have about this film, that stuck out this watch. So Joan Allen's character, she's blind in the film. At the, like, they have this date, and she's kind of into him, and clearly, and he's loving it, and they have this, you know, relationship thing that happens. The next day, she gets dropped off by, I guess, her assistant.
It's a coworker,
Or something like
who
that.
Who I think it normally drives her home.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Like, so there, he snaps because he sees her making out with him on the doorstep.
But which I can't remember if that was real.
That's what I'm trying to think.
I think it looked like he was making out with her, but he was just reaching for something on her face.
Okay.
But Francis saw it as them making out. So it was on his mind what he thought they did.
He killed that guy, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Like right after.
I think he said to go pee at that moment.
To I guess add on to your point, like people being comforted by him, he sees him this, you know, lumbering huge Tom Noonan character out in the middle of the garden and is like walks by. He's like, oh, hey.
Yeah.
And then, you know, proceeds to get slaughtered
in a garden.
He was in the garden. But like, I couldn't, I guess, because for me, like in that scene, like as a kid or when I was watching it in high school and college, like I always just assumed that they were actually making out and that made him snap.
Right.
But like, as I watched it on this part, I'm like, is that just in his mind? But which is kind of weird for me because he's so sharp. It didn't seem like he'd be the type of person to just like rage and envision.
It's because he's jealous because he'd never had that relationship with a normal woman.
Right.
So any small thing I think could set him off, imagined or not.
Yeah. It's a nice window into sort of his madness where you do see him like put together. And then now all of a sudden he sort of invents this thing and it kind of lets you into his, you know, his mental state.
Right.
And of course that guy doesn't suspect anything because he works with Francis too. So it's like, you know, he's just like, oh, hey. And
yeah.
Oops.
I got Oops, flashbacks.
Try not to work with a Frances Dollarhood.
Her murder scene, well, her attempted murder scene is terrifying because she obviously can't see, and she's standing in the corner, and he's like walking by and basically fucking with her, and like kind of tickles close to her face,
blasting in a Gata De Vita, effective for me.
And it really reminded me this time, and again, I hadn't caught this, but it really reminded me of the end of Silence of the Lambs, where she's in the basement, and she's got it's that terrifying scene where she can't see.
And he's got the night goggles.
And you realize like how close he is to her. That I felt like was really duplicated again in, or I don't know if it was an homage a little bit. I don't know how close to the original book. I know I read Red Dragon, but not Silence of the Lambs. It was, but yeah, it was really very scary scene.
Yeah.
For that.
Well, I think it's a good, yeah, I think that's a, I think Thomas Harris likes to kind of do that and mess with the perceptions and the sensory sort of perceptions of the victims, which is why, you know, with her, he puts on that song and blasts it. 'Cause she's blind. Her hearing is her main, you know, right. thing. So now this is disorienting her in a way that he couldn't right. by just turning off the lights the way, James Gum does Buffalo Bill in Silence of the Lambs. You know, he right. can throw Clarice Starling off just by shutting off the lights. So what Francis does is turn on that loud ass song.
And I think that's another compliment to the movie too, because you know, in this scene, when he does, you like this character.
Yeah.
You know, you're feeling for her, and you know, because of like the previous, when the reporter, you know, what happens to the reporter getting burned in the wheelchair and all that crazy stuff. Like this is going to be bad for her. Yeah. Like this is not going to be a quit. He's going to enjoy the hell out of it. And he is up to this point. He's torturing her with, like you said, blasting the music, throwing off her senses, and she can't see. And she's just standing in this corner, terrified, like sweeping around, trying to find him. It's a really effective scene, I think.
Yes.
You know, that Freddie Lowndes or Loon's character that Andy blew my mind. Did you guys already talk about who that was?
No.
That's Stephen Lang playing that guy.
Yeah.
I knew he was familiar, but I had.
Who's that?
He plays Avatar. Tough guys. He was an Avatar. He's the villain. Oh. And then he was also in Don't Breathe. But,
plays a lot of military characters.
What was funny is I saw the name come up in the opening credits, and I seriously thought it was like a different. I was like, it's not funny. I was like, oh, there you have somebody named Stephen Lang too.
Other brief cameos in the film. Chris Elliott.
Oh yeah, Chris Elliott shows up for a second. I blew my balls off. I didn't remember that
guy. Who else?
Bulldog from
Frasier.
Yeah,
that guy.
He had like one word, but it was like Bulldog.
And Kim Greist played his wife, Will's wife. She was in Chud,
yes,
and Homeward
Bound. I recognize her, yeah.
And she was on Miami Vice.
Yeah.
She's a little bland.
Yeah, she is. But in Joan Allen,
she plays a model in Chud.
Isn't it funny that Joan Allen?
Joan Allen's way better.
She played kind of older in this than she did in the 90s.
Yeah,
Like. Yeah, she looks younger now than she did then. Yeah, it's just funny.
Mm-hmm.
What costuming and hair can do.
Costuming. Everybody was just older in the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Well, as we watch all these, we're watching Unsolved Mysteries and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, speaking of Dennis Farina.
Dennis Farina, who hosted
the later version, yeah.
Did he really?
Yeah.
With that accent and everything?
That Chicago accent he cannot possibly lose, yes.
He's from Chicago. Everybody back in those times,
peace.
They weren't moisturizing and
no, I agree.
Lighting things correctly.
I actually said this the other day. We were talking about like how different aging is now, and I was like, "Well, we all have lotion now."
Mm-hmm. That's true. Even men moisturize. Yeah,
I would use lotion all the time.
Yeah.
This is nothing to do with what you're just talking about, but I wanted to bring it up. That scene at the very end when Will Graham is running into the house.
That's so badass when he goes through the window.
Yeah. I love that.
So clearly not William Peterson. It is so visually upsetting because I'm like, that is a wig. That is not him.
It's still badass.
It's so badass.
But the thing, Michael Mann
went for it. He's like, I don't care. Leave it in the edit. Right. I don't care if that's not him. The and you can clearly awesome. Tell.
And
I didn't even catch it.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't either. But the contrast of it being so understated the rest of the time, those three or four big moments in this movie, they play so much bigger by contrast than they would in Red Dragon or any other movie now. Like, you go to see the Avengers, moments like that happen every 2 minutes. And now, in this movie, you know, back...
That's what I thought. It felt very modern.
Yeah.
We don't have to bash the Avengers.
Yeah, Scorsese.
No, no. What I'm saying is...
He's saying that now
movie.
That's a common...
I'm saying back then, you were allowed to have a cookie. Yeah. And then you became a grown up and you can have all the cookies you wanted and they weren't special anymore.
I can eat a whole sleeve if I want now.
Yeah. Exactly.
I get exactly what you're saying. It's a thing that influenced what we get now in big action movies, whereas at the time, which this wasn't even supposed to be a big action movie,
right?
You got this thing, these moments that are now what we get constantly in big
time to the
pieces.
Music and everything.
Yeah.
We had started to watch Miami Vice the show years ago. I want to go back.
Yeah.
Welcome to Miami.
Were you a fan?
I don't, you know, I never watched it as a kid. So I would be interested to revisit it.
It's basically more of Manhunter, except instead of the crimes being like serial killing, it's mostly drug lords and stuff.
Did he direct the movie?
Yeah.
He did, yeah.
Was that good?
Yeah.
The Mark Wahlberg
version?
Colin
Farrell.
Yeah.
I've never seen that. Have I seen that?
Did you just say Mark Wahlberg? No, it was Colin Farrell and Jamie Foxx.
Why did I think it was Mark Wahlberg?
He's making a new one called Tokyo Vice with Ken Watanabe.
Mm-hmm. It seems like a Mark Wahlberg kind of movie, but it was Colin Farrell.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it does feel like it could have been a Mark Wahlberg, which would have been a huge mistake.
It would have been. Agreed. He's lost his luster a bit for me.
I loved The Big Hit, though. That was like him for me. That's when I liked him the most.
Ooh, I still have to see that.
That's a good... Is that that's the one with the... Yes.
They're hitmen. Bokeem Woodbine is one of his partners, and he just has a complex about people not liking him.
Yeah, and there's like a hand lotion bit that goes all the way through the whole movie.
Yeah, I think so. It's been a while.
Yep. It's been a while.
I just remember really liking
it.
It was very like Elmore Leonard kind of storytelling.
What's William Peterson up to post CSI? He just retired.
He's cashing his Manhunter checks.
Good for him.
Mm-hmm. That's a good question.
Just
I can
live
find
your
out
life,
for you.
Buddy. Out there on Captiva with your wife.
It was so weird to see him with a little head in this movie.
He is a bigger dude.
Yeah,
as
now.
He got older.
Yeah.
He's bulked.
He's got an Alec Baldwin head.
He bulked up. Yeah.
Yeah, the last thing he did was a series called Manhattan.
And he has a big belly button, too. It was huge. Yeah, there's just one scene where he's shirtless.
Lost in it, huh?
Yeah, it was just this one scene where he's shirtless, and it was like cavernous.
You're like, whoa.
Francis Dolarhyde was wearing that pantyhose over his face to cover his lip.
Uh-huh.
Okay, you could have just worn like a ski mask.
No, I think it was to hide his identity as well.
Yeah, that was a terrible option, because
that's
how very clearly.
That's how they used to do it.
Yeah.
It was only half of his face.
Well, you have no reason to cover your mouth.
Family off.
They need to get breathe.
I think he was going to kill that dude anyway.
Clark Kent, I guess. So. Well, yeah, I mean, doy. All right.
Doy.
I really enjoyed this, Kelly.
Thank you.
It was a silly, fun, beautifully
Was it a first time
lit.
Watch for you, too?
Yeah.
Okay. It's me, too.
I like procedurals. I'm very much a cop show lady. Mm-hmm. I've been rewatching. I've never watched it before. NYPD Blue.
Oh, you get a little Sipowitz.
Mm-hmm. It's good stuff.
Sipowitz.
The older I get, the more I like that stuff too. Like I liked it when it was
Criminal
on.
Criminal Minds, I got through, I started watching them at work.
I watched a little bit of Criminal Minds.
It gets
is
a little
super
much.
Silly.
Yeah.
But I like the sort of nerdy character, the young guy.
Well, they're trying to make Silence of the Lambs every week.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's just a little dumb.
Yeah. Well, I remember when that show was kind of coming out, and I was like, how are you going to do anything after? How's anybody going to write a serial killer story after this? They've done this.
Yeah.
They're basically doing a short story every week, and it's like, you're going to run out of serial killers.
They do.
Yeah, that's why they have to come up with these through lines for their detectives where this guy is all messed up because of X, and is he going to freak out?
Yeah.
Well, they do actually on Criminal Minds address that kind of PTSD that you would have as a investigator. I have often been confused. I'm like, why do cops retire when they're 50?
Although they also demonize people who are into true crime on that show.
Well, but you have to confront the worst of humanity on a regular basis. I'm glad that they do address that on these dumb TV shows. But then, you know, and also why cops get to retire so young, it's because this is hard. You shouldn't have to do this.
Well, yeah, because they're going
to
eat the gun 10 years after that.
Yeah. Eat the gun, baby.
Yeah.
What'd you do, Andy?
He ate his gun.
Andy just like twitched real aggressively.
I just passed out candy guns and Andy ate his.
You can't play with this
delicious.
Anymore.
Delicious.
Mm-hmm. All right.
It's Ghirardelli.
Ooh, fancy. Mm-hmm.
So who's next?
Mikey B.
Mikey B, that's right.
Ooh. His birthday is in 10, 11 days.
Have you figured out what you're doing yet?
No, but I'll let you know within 24 hours.
All right, sounds good. I'll do the drawing for the last one next week because we got a while because mm-hmm. we do an extra couple of movies with this theme.
Just out of curiosity, and no one has to say, does anyone else know yet what they're doing?
I have a short list.
Yeah, I so do.
You do?
Yeah.
No, I know exactly what I'm going to do.
I'm nice. Picking Red Dragon, actually.
Oh, that would be kind of funny.
Oh, I thought Amy was going to say what she picked.
Oh, you want me to?
Oh, yeah. You can if you want to.
I'm last. I reserve the right to change my mind, of course, but right now it will be Wrath of Khan.
Yeah, boy! I'm into that.
Because I just watched it for the first time a few months ago, and I had a blasty blast. And I'm so Star Trek'd out right now, and I want you all to join me.
No, I'm into
my
it.
Nerddom.
I actually love Podcaster's Choice because, like, usually people pick a movie that maybe I haven't seen or.
Yeah, I try know, to.
That's what I'm trying to do.
That's my goal, and I'm super. I usually enjoy what everybody picks.
Yeah. I mean, Bad Boys 3 is coming out, so yeah,
Bad Boys for life.
I could match it with Bad Boys 2.
I remember watching that episode that you guys did, Bad Boys 2.
Bad Boys 1 and 2 are both great. We actually, I keep telling Elise, like, we got it because she hasn't seen either of them.
Oh, girl!
And so we keep starting to say we're going to watch them, but then I realize they are long.
The second yes. one especially.
They're really long.
I don't think it's at all necessary, really, to watch the first one. Didn't do much
really
for me.
I really like Bad Boys, actually.
It's not as good as the second one, but I still like the first one.
I do, too.
But the shit with the rats in the second one is my favorite.
Yeah.
They do it like we do!
And the body's falling out of the truck. You guys, Bad Boys 2.
It is good. I love it.
Right. Yeah. Well, what are you going to do? It could be Cats. We could all have to go watch Cats.
I'm certainly hoping
I do
not
want to go see Cats. I really do not.
Mm. Man, she is kind of on a pendulum with this thing.
Yeah.
Like I don't. Will you, won't you?
Yeah, Ross, the show, you're like, I might go with you, Andy.
That movie has 9 lives for you, Amy.
Don't get my hopes up.
She's all over the map.
It's supposed to be so bad.
That's the reason you see it.
From what has been described to me.
There's like a internet culture right now. I have seen more people that just are okay with pulling their cell phone out and recording long sections of that movie.
Damn.
Like, what? And they're awful. I mean, I get it. Yeah. It's
the
hilarious.
Theater owners are just like,
right. I guess nobody cares.
Yeah.
But I want to just say, like, I don't want to see Cats, ironically. I actually do like... Oh, Jesus Christ.
What just happened?
Elsa
Morris.
Was that empty?
Yeah.
You little shit monkey.
She has
Elsa pulled Kelly's headphones right off of his head.
She has strong feelings about Cats,
she
too.
She was trying to give me kisses, and...
Yeah,
she was, that Cats conversation.
Is it because we're talking about Cats?
Oh,
that's what it was. We were talking about Cats.
Oh, you made her mad.
But I just want to say, I genuinely do like the musical. So I'm not.
See,
I'm
I
not
hate all musicals.
I'm not trying to see Cats to be like, oh, it's so bad, it's good.
Had you actually seen or just heard the soundtrack to it?
There's like a DVD release.
Yeah,
They refilled it, recorded it live.
Yeah,
in '98, that was like pretty spot, like very spot on.
Yeah,
you can see it on YouTube actually.
Well, there you go.
They've got a bunch of actually things. Sweeney Todd's on there too. The Angela Lansbury version you can watch.
Yeah, mimes scare me, and so do the cats. The cats and leotards. I think it's just something about them. But
I just like dancing.
I get it.
And it's good dancing in that show.
They all look like the Junkyard Cats from Heathcliff.
Yeah.
It's the ears.
They do.
Rum Tum Tugger?
I'm sure that's probably where Heathcliff came up with the designs for those cats.
I'm sure you're right. I used to think that cat was so sexy.
On the roller skates?
Jenny Any Dot?
That was she was with them. The roller skate one was the one that talked in rhyme.
Did anybody have like a moment of like where either in college or English class or just because you were into it, like you were reading the T.S. Eliot stuff? And that T.S. Eliot that wrote the
Who
book?
Wrote
the
he, wrote he wrote a book of poems
that's based on. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. What was it? The Wastelands or something? Was that T.S. Eliot?
Yeah, and it as an English major.
It's a very interesting.
Ruined my life.
Oh, you didn't like the T.S. Eliot stuff?
It was all bummers, right? If I remember right.
You just
right.
had to spend so much time with it.
Okay.
And you kind of were over
it. It's time to change the litter.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just a sad Irish
I don't
dude,
know what like, the cats thing stuff. Is. Yeah. I just know, yeah.
Okay.
It felt like a long suicide note.
April is the
right.
cruelest month.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Memories.
Was he love song of J. Alfred Prufrock? That actually was pretty good.
Jay Alfred, who fucks?
This guy fucks.
Who fuck?
So, who knows? I could
who
go see Cats.
Knows?
This episode is all about whether or not Amy will go see Cats.
Will she or won't she?
Yeah.
Ready?
Yeah. You ready? Let's thank our Beelzebubs. Without you, this show would not be possible. If you're thinking about supporting the show, please do it. Makes a big difference.
Patreon.com/NOTLP.
You get a lot of extra content. You get all of the older episodes with commentary. We call that Origins. And then a bunch of other stuff. And our Beelzebubs are Jim Belding.
Hey, don't worry about your hair lip. Don't kill anybody because of it.
What if he does have a hair lip? Oh, we don't know.
Well, don't kill anybody because of it.
Cassie and Jeremy Burmeister. We still need to mail Jeremy his new shirt.
Yeah. Don't kill us over that.
You're very colorful.
Bill Farner.
How do you feel about neon, Bill?
Blake Heath, you did it, you son of a bitch, didn't you? You stood there and you looked at the thing and you were like, you know what, I got a big backyard. Amanda James.
DC?
DC?
Elise Combrink.
DC?
Hey, baby, I'm going to use mirrors somehow in our... I don't know.
I'm going to cut your eyes out and put mirrors
well,
in there.
I'm not going to do that, but maybe we'll make like cake mirrors and cake eyes.
Do it in the middle.
There you go.
A mirror glaze on your cake.
We'll use food and...
Amy, I need you to go next to her desk, find a Rolodex, and find Jeff Lancaster in there.
Just do it!
It wasn't a Rolodex. Then what was the other thing?
It was like a...
There is
a
Rolodex.
Card, it was like a card carousel.
It's the thing that had the little, the slidey, the letter thing with the pointy
Klinko
thing
finder.
She was so accommodating.
She was. It was
the 80s.
Yeah, it was easier to find somebody.
I really felt...
If you were confident, people would do anything you told them to.
I very much felt her first response, which... She'll be back in the morning.
Yeah.
Which is, I have felt that way at work 1,000 times.
Just call back.
Just not right now.
I have a job too. Tree and Alex McNulty.
Hey, do you guys have a big backyard?
We have a big backyard.
Pet a tiger?
I sure like your big backyard.
Ernie Perez.
Oh, Ernie.
Hey, we're going to fly you out to, we're going to fly you out to somewhere. Blast and you can investigate something.
We're going to fly you out to investigate something. We'll let you know what it is when you get here.
We need you back.
Mark Watts. He fits the profile.
He does. I love Mark Watts's freeze frame at the end.
They should have gone out on that.
They should have.
Freeze frame.
All the turtles, most of them survived. He promised this kid all of them would, and he was like, most of them made it.
What a dickhole.
Yeah. Brandon Whitehead and Emily in Trivia.
Hey.
They're working in pairs.
Oh, no.
Not a copycat at all. They live together.
Mm.
I own a good one.
And I own a garden. No, you
don't. I
own a garden.
Amy gets chocolate coins.
Yeah.
I hope you're not on fire or your house or anybody you know or love or anything you know, love.
Oh, yeah. Australia, hope everybody's okay.
Oh, yeah.
You know, be safe and get safe.
All the koalas.
We're thinking about you guys. Thinking about you.
It's so scary. They say that's going to change Australia forever.
Yeah.
The last thing I read that it's never going to be the same. Wow. What a bummer, man.
Do we have anybody else?
Yes. Adam Ingram, certainly.
Yes,
not,
sir.
Wait, last, but certainly not least. I almost said that completely wrong.
You came crashing through the window of my heart.
Oh, you did.
Yeah.
You're like the pantyhose to my head.
Yeah. We were gonna let you go, but just this one time we need you back. Because all the killings.
We're going to bite you and leave weird marks on you.
Bring you back.
Oh, you're going to eat a Chicago dog with Dennis Farina.
Yeah. Hey,
I can't do Chicago.
Deep dish.
Deep dish.
Bring me a deep dish.
Hey, you got some sausage.
He actually said pal in the movie.
Pal?
Yeah. Hey, pal.
I love that. Hey, pal. You can just hey pal me.
Frankenstein was wondering if he should go to bed when his old buddy Leatherface put on Dawn of the Dead. And Igor made the nachos in a severed human head. And they of London.